up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with the boys from Sons of Habit. How you guys doing?
What's up?
Awesome. Nice to finally be able to do this. I don't know if you guys are aware, but this is like the fourth time we've rescheduled this.
Well, I can, but
yeah, seeing updates on our calendar.
Okay, right on. Yeah, it's, you know, life happens sometimes. I'm glad we could finally nail it down. So before we really jump into anything too much, just kind of let us know what you guys have been up to lately. You know, it's the warm weather's coming. I feel like festival or concert season in general is really starting to take a hold. So just let us know what you guys have been up to lately.
Yeah, dude, it's been a crazy start of the year so far. We actually just cut an entire album with Taylor Kimball in Talco, Texas. So very excited about that. And we're in the mixing process of doing all that, you know, how that goes. And then, like you said, just a ton of festivals and shows coming this summer. We've got a full summer tour, including a show in England. So it's going to be the first time we're flying overseas. So yeah, we're stoked, man.
Hell yeah. Now that you mentioned Kimball, I actually wanted to bring that up too, because he's like kind of, you know, a legend in Texas and all those guys out there. So I guess, and you guys have worked with him before, right? So can you guys kind of just let us know the story about how you guys clicked and started working together and how that experience has been?
That's our story with Tom.
Yeah,
suggested it. Yeah. We had a limo meeting in Nashville, and Tom was like, why don't we go work with Taylor Kimball? And we're like, oh, let's go do it, dude. Like, of course. So, yeah, we're good buddies, DL60 guys, and they cut XTU with them. So that's the first time I heard of Taylor. And I think about a month later, we drove to Talco. Mm-hmm. And holy crap, there's nothing like it out there. It's a town of maybe 300-400 people, and it's in the old bank in Talco, Texas. And it's just incredible.
You're driving through this desolate town. I mean, there's this huge building. Looks like an old bank, because it is. And then you walk up to it and says, cameras and guards, Martin. Yeah. Like, well, you got to stand alone. You know, I mean, it's like a candy store.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Insane.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Because it's kind of cool, like you guys being an example, especially right now, and the old 60 guys too. Like those Kentucky bands. I'm from Kentucky, Northern Kentucky, if you want to count it that. But yeah. So it's always great to see like the Kentucky guys get recognition out there in that music scene, which is also huge. So is that like? Did you guys feel any kind of way when like you guys started to be like really like taken in by that Texas crowd?
Yeah, it's totally different. Like we took Annabelle as the first song we took the TK, and you know, I thought it was going to be kind of this Kentucky folk song, and you know, with Texas, they don't play around with electrics and drums, and it even turned Annabelle into like just a power ballad, and it sold me instantly. Just the tones they're able to get are just stuff that we never thought these songs could do. So yeah, we're doing a whole new wave of music that's just a lot harder hitting, but still keeping the original Kentucky sound that we love.
We had a couple that were rinky dinky, and then they just turned into this whole new monster.
Yeah,
that's crazy. We've got some cool stuff coming for sure.
Hell yeah. And let's back up a bit, just with kind of like when you guys, I guess, first really started hitting it hard as a group. Can you kind of describe the scene where you were, like in Kentucky, and how that kind of flowed, like the community aspect of it, or how was it really getting along in there?
Yeah, I think we can all get a piece of this, but it started, I had a single wide trailer and had it in Kentucky. So we're all in Owensboro. This is about, 30 minutes out of town?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jeffrey, who's our drummer now, we live together at the trailer, and I'll let everyone else get their piece of this, because it was crazy.
Well, I ran into Mitchell downtown. He was performing live at a bar, and I heard his voice, and I was like, dude, we need to jam out sometime. And we were like mutual, like acquaintances. Like we knew each other in passing, but never really talked. It was always one of those guys where I could say, hey, how you doing? And keep walking. Mm. And finally, like 2 or 3 months went by, and me and Mitchell kept running into each other and talking about jamming out, but never did. And he like cornered me, I think it was at Pub on Second, and he was like, dude, what are you doing next Wednesday after work? I said, nothing. And he goes, well, you're coming over and we're jamming out. If you don't show up, we'll never talk about it again. So we had a jam session, and then the following week we made it an every Wednesday thing. He brought Dalton, and we wrote Madeline at our first jam session, and we were like, I think this is a pretty good song. And then just kept writing ever since.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I was at an Oliver Anthony concert in Beaverdam that I wasn't originally going to. My cousin's husband's dad had two extra tickets and asked me and my wife, I was like, hey, you guys want to go? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And I see him and we're both, you know, a little inebriated. And he was like, hey,
of course.
Got, you know, a couple guys coming out to the trailer and we're going to play some music. So I've known Mitchell for a very long time. We've been acquainted for, I don't know, his mother was my third grade teacher. So like I knew of him and like we'd see each other in the hallways and whatnot. He was two grades below me. But, he was like, come out to the trailer. And I was like, okay, I'll be there. Made him give me his address right then and there because I knew I would never hear from him again if I did. I love you. But I showed up, my girl Madeline, and you know, the rest is history. Here we are today. And it's been a crazy, windy road. It's been absolutely enjoyable. It's insane.
So, yeah. It's awesome. I've been seeing your guys' names pop up everywhere, like on whether, you know, like of course, like on social media and stuff, but you know, I mean, that's kind of the bread and butter these days, but you know, like the pop that you guys are having, at least in my opinion, as an observer, is pretty crazy. I don't know if you guys are feeling that at all. Like, does it get kind of intense?
It's insane. It's wild. I mean, we all were, you know, had full-time jobs. I was an accountant. You guys can say you all did. I was a mechanic. I still own an auto shop. So.
Oh, yeah, nice.
I was in sales, like electrical sales.
I was a mailman.
Hell yeah.
I sold forklifts.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So the fact that this is all happening over a two-year span, dude, we never could have dreamed of this. And, we're so thankful to people who listen to some guys started in trailer. It's really as simple as that, but you wouldn't do anything else in this. So we're very blessed.
Yeah. And it's insane how, like, again, as a music listener and fan, seeing the Kentucky, like, region, like, in particular, just popping right now. Like, it's honestly crazy. Like, I didn't know people, like, listen to that this kind of music that we've like living here. Like I've always been listening to it, but like seeing, like we talked about earlier, like Texas, them guys, like all over the fucking place, it's pretty nuts, and it's really good to see. And how like when it comes to a place like Kentucky, another cool thing is you know, a lot of people think, oh, bluegrass, that's it, but no, it's not just that. That's a great part of it, but the cool thing about a place like this is that there is such a melting pot of sounds and styles and artists. So, and this is kind of a cliche question, but like how would you guys, if you had to, describe Sons of Habit sound?
I knew it was coming.
What's the word you just came up with? Y'all turn it up on y'all.
Perfect. Perfect.
That works. That's cool.
That's cool. Yeah, remember, people used to say around here, like, all 60 was what, Amish rock? It's like what
those Amish rock. Amish rock.
So y'all turn it up would be hard. Would be on y'all turn it. I like that.
Yeah. It's a style that's kind of, you know, growing too. I mean, Techno Comfort, exactly. He's like, I mean, that genre of music has really taken it's exploded out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody enjoys it. It's crazy, but like ours, it's very different.
Yeah.
Like I have no idea how to describe it. I
think this album's really gonna show like the space we're stepping into. We feel comfortable in the studio, creative, and this album just shows that. And I think it actually plays a lot of plays into the elements of what we grew up on listening to. Mm-hmm. So we have like this early 2000s kind of like country space that we're in. It's cool. It's like you can marry Coldplay and I don't know, Tyler Childers together, and somehow we're in that hallway of music
with Intel, Cornell, and it's weird.
We're real weird, to be honest.
We don't really know the genre, I guess.
We kind of just make what we like. We just go in there and we make a song. We don't really adhere to anything. We kind of just go in the direction that we feel like going in. So
no, that sounds cool. That's right.
Yeah. You know, some people like, what's your, give us like what song you want to model this after. It's like, okay, I have to give you 20. You know, like we're our own thing. So
yeah. And that's the great thing about where we are now in music, I think, is that the genres don't matter. And I don't think they mattered for a long time. But like now, I mean, even the biggest artists, I mean, you see it all the time. Like when Beyonce did a country record, Hardy did a rock record. Like it's like it doesn't matter anymore. And seeing that just along all spheres of the industry is fantastic. And you mentioned the album, which I would like to get into too. But also with, I guess first off, just you kind of hit on it there, but like, what can we expect? You kind of said it there, but like what can we look forward to from it?
I'll answer that good.
A new sound of ours, I think, where it, truly exemplifies what we have been wanting to do. There have been some songs in the past where we're just I don't know, I feel like we were close, and then with the studio experience we just hammered what we wanted to get done out of it. I don't know how to describe it though.
The writing on it's the strongest work we've ever done.
Yeah,
and so from start to bottom you're gonna get this whole story of not only like the band itself, but also just kind of as a, I don't know, I think each of us can relate, not only as the band, but anyone who's listening to it.
Very relatable.
Ours is just very deep. And yes, I know people, when they think of Sons of Abbott, will think Madeline, more of the folk stuff, but we also released Sober as our second song, which is like, you know, pure rock song. So we've got a lot more like rock on this, which is a huge part of what we like.
Hell yeah. And
of course was an influence to that. But yeah, I mean, it's awesome.
Hell yeah. I'm a big rock guy. So I'm looking forward to that for sure. And kind of going into that a bit, like you said, like you can't really describe it. You're a sound there. You can't put a label on it. Right. So I think with artists who are able to progress, I don't know if progress is the right word, but like just be able to change up maybe like with one release to another while still sounding like Sons of Habit, like still sounding like themselves. I think that really separates them. Of course, you got the formulaic guys like AC/DC, but that's AC/DC. Yeah, they play the same damn thing over and over again, which is great. But like with like up and coming bands, like it's so like obvious that you guys can pull that off, and I think that's it shows you guys really have the juice to do it. And I think yeah, like being able to experiment. You guys find yourself experimenting a lot, like whether you're recording or writing, like is that pretty natural for you guys, or do you have to like kind of force yourself to do it?
No, we just kind of throw stuff together and just you know, oh, this sounds cool. Let's see what we can make out of it. And then we'll just kind of go through the works and throw something together and it ends up being cool or it doesn't. And then we move on to the next.
Yeah.
And like, but it seems like everything that we kind of do, like a lot of our stuff is written during our sound checks, which is
okay.
Kind of funny. Like we'll just be kind of noodling around and Mitchell will come up with a chord progression or Noah will come up with something or I'll be playing something. And I'm like, that's rival. That's cool. And then we just kind of layer stuff on top of it and kind of go from there.
You know, what they say about Texas is just, I don't know what it is about that place, man, but it is just magic. It's definitely nothing more. We finished the album in 2 weeks, and during that, you know, there's songs we thought were going to be on there, and we just wrote new ones, and like, that's way better.
Yeah.
And so it's just a cool journey of how it went. You know, you have these 12 songs that we thought were going to be it, and then you start writing, and it's just, it makes more sense. And so we just really dove into our experience there, man.
We're flying by the seat of our pants kind of people anyway, so.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you have to be that way, right? You kind of got to just be like balls to the wall, like all in. Especially like nowadays, and that's awesome. How do you guys know, and the listeners are going to hate me because I ask this every time, but it's so fascinating to me, how do you know in your guys's case when a song is finished? Like, is there a bell that goes off in your head? Is it just like, screw it, let's just see if this works? Like, how do you guys know when, like, all right, this is perfect, I'm not going to overdo it, I'm not going to underdo it, this is exactly how I wanted it to turn out?
Mm-hmm. When it feels good sonically for me, but I'm more of a melodic melody kind of guy. I've always had trouble with lyrics, but when it sounds good sonically and melodically, then that's for me. And when it's like, okay, we've got something that we can, you know, kind of work with here, and either it works or it doesn't.
I don't know how to describe it other than we get a mix back after, you know, the whole mixing process. We'll send some notes back and forth. And then finally, there will be that one mix where you just know, all right, perfect. This is exactly what we were shooting for here.
Yeah.
And usually, I don't think we've ever disagreed. When we have a final mix, it's like, hey, guys, I think this one's it. Have you guys heard this one yet? Everybody will text back in the group chat and be like, hell yeah, this is perfect.
Yeah.
And we're usually on the exact same page on the final mix there. So it's hard to put a finger on it, but other than you just know when it's done.
Mm-hmm. Mine's weird. I always give the harmonica as the example when you record it. I've said this since we did that one, but I know the harmonica is good when I don't think about the harmonica on the song.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. You know, he was doing an electric pass on one of the records, and I was just laying back and I started thinking about other stuff. And I was like, that means it's perfect. And I'm not. Because I can get in my head and nitpicky about certain, you know, the smallest stuff, but there's always
when when it all becomes one and you're not like picking out certain things. Okay, that's interesting. I never thought of that. It makes sense though.
Yeah.
But yeah, and another very important part, obviously, probably like the most important part about being an artist in a band, I assume, is connection with the fans. And I think as a music fan, the live show is like, to me, the most important thing. Not only, obviously, like, you know, you want a group you listen to sound great live too, and like there's that whole argument there, but I look at it as it's a way to make new fans, whether you stumble into a club and see a band that you weren't expecting to see, and it's a way to keep the fans, and it's like an instant like click aside, and like, instead of like being on your phone going to like Friday new music release playlist, yada yada yada, you know, it's a little oversaturated on streaming, you know, there's a lot of shit on there. So I think like the live aspect, what I'm getting at is like, how would you guys describe your live show, and do you think that like kind of what I'm saying is like correct or in line with you guys about how like that's kind of like, you know, ground zero for really connecting with fans? What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, we have, you know, we have a song for everybody. You know, there is something that somebody that can connect to somewhere. You know, we try to interact with our fans as much as we can, whether that be on stage or, you know, going and signing merch and seeing all the people who came to our shows that paid for tickets. You know, the least that you can do is go and introduce yourselves and spend a little time with the people who came to watch you play music. So,
yeah, that's my biggest thing. I mean, the fans are everything. And I think in this industry, it's easy to get caught up in the streaming and everything else. When no, they bought that ticket and that shirt. And so I thought it was common practice in the space, but we, after every show, we'll wait until the last person. We'll sit there for 2-3 hours and meet every single fan.
Yeah.
And so we will do that literally as long as we can, dude. I mean, it's the best part of it. And yeah, that's my piece on it.
We also have a lot of pride in sounding as good or better than our records. Mm-hmm. That is one thing that we always strive for. And a lot of people will tell us after shows, but that's one thing that we really try to hit on is we want you to have an as good or even better experience when you listen to our music live compared to, you know, in your car or something.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a great way to look at it. And like, even like as a fan, like when they change it up, like, of course it's great when like they can play sound just like the record, but change it up a little, you know, like be a little free up there. You know what I mean? Is that kind of how you guys roll?
Yeah, we
have little bonus stuff.
I think that's the hardest part of it. Cause we'll tour this song. It's like, why did we not record it like that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I already know when the album's done, we'll be touring on it. And I know I'm going to be, gosh, why didn't we add a solo for another 10 minutes on that song?
Yeah, just get the bootleg live recording. Just be a jam band. Fuck it. Hell yeah. But so we talked about the album a bit coming up, but let's talk about your last single that just dropped. I think that was just the beginning of the month, I think, May 8th. I think 8th. But Keep Coming Back, it's called, and you teamed up with Ava Hall. And I guess first and foremost, would you guys happy with the reception, the reaction from your guys' fans? How did it all turn out?
It's been amazing.
Great.
Yeah. The feedback has been crazy. And like Dalton said earlier about writing soundtrack, we actually wrote that in Salt Lake City, Utah at the Complex, I think it was.
Complex.
Yeah. I just started playing that chord progression. We wrote it pretty much the whole thing there. And I knew from then it needed a duet. it just told this story about Keith coming back and you needed a, you know, a duality of that. And so we, I think about a year and a half, we waited on it and heard Ava, and it was done from then. I heard her voice and knew we needed her. So we wrote it in Universal, the publishing building, and she wrote her verse and the rest is history. So yeah, the visualizer comes out tomorrow. So it's the music video. So we're excited.
Badass. Yeah, guys, it was a fantastic tune. And it sounds like you guys just write songs on a whim. Like from what you guys are telling me, that's crazy. I'll never understand that. Like it just drops into your guys' lap. Like, I don't know what kind of brain you guys have, but it's very interesting to pick at it and ask you guys how the hell that thing works. But, yeah, that's awesome. It was a great song. Guys, thanks for hopping on. This was great. But before we go, we were talking about your album and everything. Is there like a potential date that we could look forward to? Is that still in the works? Like anything like that?
That's to be determined. Yeah. So.
Okay. Right on. Fair enough. Well, what about any shows? What do you guys got coming up?
Railbird in Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh shit. You guys are playing. Oh, that'd be cool. Being Kentucky boys.
I'm nervous thinking about it now, but we started as a band. We wrote down like, just goals. And I thought this was the craziest thing in the world. I put Railbird on there. I think my first thing. And I've never even been to festival. And I'm going to be just going nuts. It's crazy, that's, dude. So many family and friends. Just the mecca of what you can do in Kentucky for a festival. So I'm blessed thinking about it, dude.
Yeah. So that's a cool story with Railbird, which is why this festival holds a special place. About 3 years ago, I went with Jacob Ty, the lead singer of O60. And my cousin, a couple other buddies, but we all went just as fans, and this is before both bands started. And then a year later, he was playing it. Now 2 years later, we're playing it.
Wow, so that's awesome.
It's nuts. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's crazy how that works. You never know when you're going to get that pop and just got to ride it and try your best, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, boys, thanks a lot for hopping on. This is great. I'm glad we could finally make it happen. Yeah, finally did it.
And, brother.
Yeah. So where can people find just Sons of Habit on everything or any plugs, website?
Yeah.
Even streaming platforms that I don't think any of us have ever heard of.
Yeah.
What's on or necessarily doing these riders? And I'm like, what the heck is this wall base?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's going to be out on YouTube tomorrow. So, yeah.
Right on. You guys make sure to go check that out. Check out Sons of Habit. They're a great group, and it's going to be so fun watching you guys where you go from here. So thank you guys for hopping on. Thanks everyone else for listening. Also make sure to check out Raised Rowdy and Rowdy Alternative. Google us, we'll pop up. So thanks everyone for listening. Sons of Habit, thank you guys. We'll see you guys next time.
Guys, appreciate it. My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Gonna take you home tonight.